Spirit Catholic Radio presents Holiness Helpers. Join members of the Pro-Sanctity Movement of Omaha in growing in holiness to become saints in the making. Now, Holiness Helpers.
This Holiness Helpers radio program is offered as a part of the Pro-Sanctity Movement. The Pro-Sanctity Movement is an international movement in the Church dedicated to spreading the universal call to holiness. The Pro-Sanctity Movement was founded in Italy in 1947 by Bishop Jacinta and is comprised of lay people, consecrated people, and priests. The apostolate includes retreats, summer camp for girls, college and young adult ministry, parish work, secular jobs, spiritual direction, and family formation. The work of the Pro-Sanctity Movement is led by the Apostolic Oblates, belonging to the Secular Institute of the Apostolic Oblates Consecrated to Redemptive Love. A secular institute is a form of consecrated life in the Catholic Church. Members are in the world, but not of the world. Secular institutes are called to be like leaven, hidden, transforming the world from within. For more information, please go to our website at www.prosanctity.org. I'd like to begin our program now, as I always do, with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of love and holiness, you who overshadowed Mary, making her mother of the eternal Word, dwell in us and make us apostles of holiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, I'm Lisa Lindsay, and I am your guest moderator, and you hear some amens out here. And I have a couple of guests here today who are going to be joining me. I'll start with, shall we do ladies first? We'll do ladies first.
Sure.
Okay.
Wonderful idea.
I have to say amen so that people would know this is live.
Yes.
Teresa Monahan, National Director of the Pro-Sanctity Movement and local moderator here in the Archdiocese of Omaha.
And also we have Father
Carl Zuha, Archdiocesan priest and also a member of the Apostolic Sodalis of the Pro-Sanctity Movement.
And as always, we're not just here chatting today. We have a topic and a subject we'd like to talk about. It's March 19th, a very special day for me and for all of us. It is the Feast of St. Joseph and also the Feast of the Apostolic Sodalis. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Sodalis.
Perfect.
Okay. and we're going to talk about that.
Yes.
Because always in my introduction, I talk about that the Pro-Sanctity Movement is comprised of lay people, consecrated people, and priests. So can you tell us about this, Sodalis priest, and how did that, the term, is there a meaning for the term, solidarity, and then what, tell me about the Sodalis.
Well, as Bishop Jacinta formed, had his idea and insight that all people are called to holiness, and was giving spiritual retreats and directions and days of reflection to help people live their holiness, to live their life of holiness as disciples. First, some young ladies came along and wanted to participate into that movement. And they are the
Apostolic Oblates?
Institute was the word I was trying to dig up. Institute of the Apostolic Oblates. And so then they were participating in this new movement, and Bishop Jacinta, at that time a young priest himself, was understanding the role of in a deeper way, a priest in the lives of people, in the life of the Church, in their faith, and desired this greater depth of living out his own priesthood, and led into the insight of what we say is the cenacle, the upper room, where two wonderful moments happened, one for Jesus, one for the life of the Church with the Holy Spirit. So the Last Supper happened in the upper room, the cenacle, and Jesus giving us that perpetual offering in the sacrament of the Eucharist, surrounded by those first priests, the apostles. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming and inflaming into the fire of love, the call for those apostles to go out and proclaim the good news. And those are a center for us as Apostolic Sodalis. apostolic synodalists are basically diocesan priests, and we are called to a deeper living out of our priesthood. In this spirituality of entering into the cenacle, so a deeper prayer life, a deeper reflection upon that, and then promoting the holiness that everyone is called to from the graces we receive, from being with Jesus at the Last Supper and the Holy Spirit in the moment of Pentecost. And certainly at Pentecost, Mary was there, as Scripture tells us, and so Mary also is part of our life in a wonderful way as part of this life of apostolic sodalis.
Sure. And the word sodalis comes from solidarity. Solidarity in union with brothers to one another, brothers united for the same apostolate, the same apostolic work. Sometimes we use the word mission or ministry, but apostolate really is the continuation of God's work, of Jesus' life and death and resurrection extended through your offering of your lives in union with each other, as the apostles were, and then going forth and spreading that everywhere you go.
And
is that
also
correct?
In union with our bishop, exactly. Who is our spiritual father, and Bishop Jacinta himself, understanding that the bishop in the position of the apostles and having those priest disciples in union with that ministry under the direction of his spiritual fatherhood. And so our own devotion and dedication to the direction of our own local ordinary, our own archbishop, is part of our charism also as sodalis.
And isn't it true, Father, that every priest is really called to be in solidarity with his brother priests, in union with his bishop, for the sake of others, in particular his parishioners and those that he serves in the apostolate as priest? However, there needs to be encouragement and the support system and the opportunity to come in deep harmony together around the bishop. It's a great witness and a great opportunity to invite others to do the same. In a world where we're all separated and scattered and everybody's kind of a lone ranger. Wow, what a beautiful witness you give. I like to see you as almost an army of priests. An army is kind of a negative connotation of violence, but in that positive sense of journeying together for your own holiness and for the holiness of all men and women, brothers and sisters, tutti santi, tutti fratelli, all saints, all
brothers and sisters.
It's so
that.
Beautiful.
It is.
And we need our spiritual father. We
yes.
need our priest to be deeply centered in the cenacle with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with God the Father, united in Trinitarian love, so you have something to give deep from within your very commitment as priest. Is that correct?
That is. And that's what I've found attractive from the beginning of the sodalis, certainly of the pro-sanctity movement, of that call to holiness, but then as a priest to be able to live that out. And as we are eight sodalis, even in our own area, and others who are priest friends of not only pro-sanctity, but also the us as sodalis. But we gain a lot. I certainly do. Mm-hmm. And am thankful for this invitation to be with the apostolic sodalis, with the pro-sanctity movement.
And that theme of spiritual fatherhood, you know, that you're to be spiritual father, is one of the reasons why Bishop Jacinta, when he was reflecting on the feast of St. Joseph, who he loved very well. I knew Bishop Jacinta quite well. I spent time in Italy and had a chance to meet him. So I really feel like I met a saint. But he understood that it's not easy to be a spiritual father. One has to have a personal commitment to one's journey, personal spiritual journey that has to be profound and committed, but that takes time, that takes support. We need one another. But he knew that the spiritual fatherhood was the same spiritual fatherhood that Jesus experienced through Joseph. And that constant attentive presence of Joseph to Jesus raised Jesus, the human Jesus, to the full stature. And we're called to grow to that full stature of Christ also. So you are another Joseph to us.
And it is wonderful to reflect on that. And actually having a little background in carpentry and then knowing
He's
Jesus.
He's chopped up more things than I can, than you can count.
So destruction is part of some of that construction. To construct things, you got to destruct things. You know? But St. Joseph is that wonderful model of, yes, as you said, spiritual fatherhood, but also of in his own way of how he was in that active receptivity. That scripture does not quote St. Joseph as saying anything. Doesn't mean he was a bump on a log. Mm-hmm. He was certainly doing the Heavenly Father's will, responding to the promptings as was given to him, whether in a dream or in other ways. We can imagine him as a deeply faithful Jewish man, and having grown up in that Jewish faith, knowing those Hebrew scriptures, and integrating them into his heart and into his life, and that thus passing that on, that love for the faith, the love for God, love for Scripture, onto Jesus, his foster son. Because that March 19th is the feast of Saint Joseph, husband of Mary, foster father of Jesus. And that in that holy family, he truly is the head of the family, but in a way that gives us a model to receive in order to then do the will of God.
Right. And Joseph, I love that today's gospel, and I would hope that you spend a little time with it. Matthew chapter 1, verses 16 to 24, is the review of Joseph's presence in the life of Mary and her son, Jesus. And he received many intuitions, not because he was reading books all the time, but because he went to bed and he had dreams. In his ordinariness, I don't think it's just about dreaming, but in his ordinariness, God spoke to Joseph. In his ordinariness, God spoke and led Joseph to be the spiritual father, to be the support system, quietly but profoundly and powerfully present to Mary and to Jesus. And so when he understood that Mary was with child, he must have just almost had a breakdown. But as a righteous man, he paused and he received the awareness. Such was his intention to divorce, quietly divorce her, it says in Matthew. But behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph received the word of God in his mind and heart through a dream, through something that he didn't go out to have. Oh, I'm going to go to bed tonight and have a dream. But because he was a righteous man, he was in union and communion with God. God knew that if he gave him a message through a dream, Joseph being a righteous man, a man who deeply meditated the word of God, that he would understand and respond to that word received. That's that active receptivity you were talking about before, isn't it, Father? That he received the word, he recognized it was truth, and he acted on it. It wasn't just he had to have, well, give me a document and I'll sign it, and then I'll know this is what I'm supposed to do. Something as what you might say, nebulous, uncertain, a dream. Do we really believe in dreams? Do we believe in the Holy Spirit? Do we believe that when God speaks to us in our minds and our hearts, that he does motivate us and encourage us and direct us when we entrust our lives to him? Righteous man, he entrusted his life to the Lord. And so he did receive truth that day, and he did take Mary in. And today we have this wonderful, wonderful celebration of a man of great faithfulness, of great obedience, a man who raised the Son of God.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
And to accept that responsibility. Yeah. I always think about, when I think of St. Joseph, as you said, there isn't a lot that he said, mm-hmm. but I always think to accept that responsibility, God's son, that's not something you take lightly.
Well, and to understand it, first of all, and then to receive it and respond to it, no, that is not something light. That is something, well, it was life-changing.
Well, and the idea that he had to protect him, yeah. you know, because he came as a baby, as an infant, approachable, you know, as a child, and for him to accept the responsibility to protect and guide and, you know, try to do what he could as an earthly man, knowing that Jesus was God's son, that had to take tremendous faith.
The Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, soon to be beatified, called Joseph the custodian of the Redeemer, the one who takes care of, the one who tenderly within the realm of his home, of his livelihood, of his very rooms, you know, in his home, he took care of the child Jesus. He raised the child Jesus. He pondered, he must have pondered deeply the place of Jesus in his home. The Holy Father called Joseph the greatest of all contemplatives, because a contemplative isn't chit-chatting all the time like I'm doing right now. The contemplative is quietly watching and receiving from the person Jesus in their heart. And of course, Joseph had Jesus in his home, the physical Jesus. Well, we also, through the hands of our spiritual fathers, receive Jesus into our interior home. So you too, my dear father, are that custodian of Jesus in the hearts of all your parishioners, in the hearts of all the people that come to you, myself included. How does that feel?
Well, and that's awe-inspiring, certainly, and with fear and trembling, we enter into this ministry. But St. Joseph also, as a man's man, did what needed to be done, get her done, kind of sort of thing. And you can see that attitude of him, too, and to have pondered in his own faith life on the Word of God, and then having the Word of God in his own presence, as you said, in his own home, that in those early formative years, Jesus needed to learn everything. You could probably assume he was a speedy learner, but he had to learn. And so between Mary and Joseph, you know, Joseph teaching him the ways of manhood, and that he didn't shirk that duty. He didn't water it down, and the result is Jesus embracing that wood of the cross, that and knowing how things work. His Jesus using the knowledge of the fields, the way things grow, the care of animals, shepherding, and stuff was, we can assume, was learned through Joseph leading Jesus into how the world works and how things are in God's plan, and thus that Jesus grows in that as Scripture says in wisdom and grace before God and men. And so Joseph was leading him through that. And so we're thankful for this man, Joseph, and it's wonderful to have that devotion to him, and certainly proper that all of the Catholic Church I know, you know, have that side altar in honor of St. Joseph, and that we can raise up that devotion and encourage that devotion to St. Joseph in all of our lives, but especially the men around us and all good Catholic men and all men of goodwill that would want to know how to be close to Jesus in the right way.
Joseph is really a man for every man, isn't he? He can appeal to the intellectual man. He can appeal to the worker man. He can appeal to the family man. He was also, to a certain extent, to the single man, you know, in the sense of his celibate life with Mary. Yes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful example of a man totally given to what God gave him. Given to what? He chose the choice that God, it's not you who chose me, it's I who chose you, says Jesus in John 15. Well, Joseph chose the choice that God had for him. He had to ponder it. He had to pause. He had to work it out. But he embraced it with his whole mind, heart, soul, and strength, which is our definition of a saint. And one of the last little points that I often ponder is when Jesus went off to the temple and left Mary and Joseph in the dust, so to speak, literally, because Israel's so dusty. You were just there. And where, you know, I mean, can you imagine the crowds, Father, when you were just, Father was just in the Holy Land, and the crowds and the people, it would have been pretty easy to lose a child, don't you think?
Right, as we understand how they traveled in caravans and that a boy of 12 years old could be with either the group of men or the group of women. Mm-hmm. And so they both assume that Jesus was fine and he's right in the midst, but then they couldn't find him. Yeah. So,
and then when the two of them come together, Mary and Joseph, I mean, I would love to, I sometimes do in my prayer, I listen in on that conversation. I thought he was with you. I thought he was with you.
Imagine?
And I'm sure it wasn't nasty because there wasn't a nasty bone in either one of their bodies.
Right.
But there was definitely a tone, and it's revealed to us in Scripture. It's revealed to us because Mary says to her son Jesus, when they finally find him in the temple, "Did you not know your father and I were worried?" Oh, that's a great line. Every parent, everyone who works with young people, everyone who is perturbed over someone else's actions, "Did you not know?" And then Jesus, in the most beautiful manner, looks at them, I'm sure with eyes of love, because he could only have eyes of love. And he gets down off his little high chair and takes them by the hand and goes back to Nazareth. And there disappears into the life of Joseph and Mary, simple, humble, hidden for how many years?
18.
18 years. Mm.
But yet I imagine that it wasn't just flatlined at that time. That there was this deepening of his own relationship mm-hmm. with his heavenly father, mm-hmm. his understanding of his mission, his entering into scripture and the Jewish faith life, the good and the bad that was there, because he finally challenged it, the wrong elements that crept into the leadership and in the faith. But that he was there. And one point during that 18 years, somewhere along the line, was the death of Joseph, who is also our patron of a happy death. And we can imagine that Jesus and Mary at his side at his last breath and sending him off to heaven, and that we would pray that St. Joseph intercede for all people who are at their moment of death.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's there for all aspects of our life.
And you used a beautiful word to cultivate that relationship. The church itself has grown in great growing awareness, a deepening awareness of the place of Joseph. I mean, to have an encyclical about St. Joseph most recently by Pope John Paul II. Pope John the 23rd placed an image in the Basilica of St. Peter's of St. Joseph on one of the side altars because it wasn't there. So an encouragement for us to make a special place in our homes for St. Joseph.
So today is the feast again of St. Joseph. We've talked about him being the patron of fathers. He's the patron of workers. Mm-hmm. And you said also the patron of a happy death. Mm-hmm. So, and we celebrate him today. Now we're going to wrap up the show. We've got a little bit of housekeeping that needs to be done briefly. And Teresa, you and I can get all of that out. I know that February is membership month, so we want
March.
Oh, March. I'm sorry. I'm back in the previous month. The March. Yeah. This March is our membership drive and membership month here for Pro Sanctity. So we're wanting you to come out and be a part of Pro Sanctity. You can go to our website. It's at www.prosanctity.org and to find out more information and
we have, during the month of March, a newsletter will go out towards the end. It will also be published online, so the www.prosanctity.org. You'll find the membership newsletter. To be a friend of the movement, I would encourage a great gift to yourself is just to see yourself as committed to your call to holiness. You desire to grow in holiness and share it with others. You don't have to be a saint yet. We're saints in the making.
In the making, yes.
Exactly. So the encouragement is to find your support system in your parish and in your environment, but Pro Sanctity would also like to be a part of that support system, whatever we can do to help you. So go to our website for the membership materials if you're not on our mailing list. This summer, we will host our national convention that everyone is invited to. Right now, we're saying save the date, July 29th to the 31st. And during that convention, there'll be all kinds of speakers and some of our favorites. You often listen to them even here on the radio. Father Tim Gallagher, yes. Deacon James Keating, our own Jim Carroll, the director here at KVSS, is one of our speakers. We help him, he helps us. And so it's a beautiful relationship. Pro Sanctity works hand in hand with all the diocesan apostolates, including the radio. So July 29th to the 31st, the registration materials will also be online, as well as more material will be coming out.
And don't forget Camp Fun and Faith. We're going to have Camp Fun and Faith again this year. So keep looking on the website for that information as well. It's been how many years? 19?
This is our 20th year. And as of this week, the first week of March, registration has opened. Some of you may have heard that our barn, our activity center, burned down. Unexplained burning. It just happened. Just probably some little electrical something or other. But the barn is already in the process of rising. It's not Easter, Amen. So it's not totally risen yet. But it will be by camp, the first week of camp, so you can just kind of gauge it. There are 5 sessions, but the first week is June 13th to the 17th. We are already taking registrations as of today, so go to the website, Wonderful. Look for the camp section, and we are looking for all kinds of help and support, everything from counselors to arts and crafts people, to cooks, to cleaners, to welcomers, whatever you might feel called to. You have a child that needs something to do that's in high school or college, send that person to us. Send that child to us. There's all kinds of wonderful opportunities, as well as from preschool to high school, there's a camp session for your child.
And then Cardinal Lorenzi is coming in September. So there's a lot going on. I can't tell you it all today, but
it's another show.
Please go to our website again at prosanctity.org. And finally, let's close now with a prayer, shall we?
And then
we?
Father could give us a blessing at the end. Wonderful.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, this is an excerpt from the Pro Sanctity prayer. Jesus, divine master who came down from heaven, give us the desire to be heroic in every virtue and the trust to attain holiness with the help of Mary, your mother and our mother. And a blessing, please, Father Zuha.
And the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God. St. Joseph,
pray for us.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa.
You've been listening to Holiness Helpers on Spirit Catholic Radio. To find out more about the Pro-Sanctity movement, visit their website, www.prosanctity.org.
The Pro-Sanctity motto, Tutti Santi, Tutti Fratelli, all saints, all brothers and sisters.